great new cars at four new low prices for 1937, the Packard Motor Car Company and its distributors and dealers everywhere bring you the Packard Hour. With Johnny Green, his piano, and his orchestra. Of Charles Butterworth, the singing of Conrad Zebo, Francia White, and Trudy Wood, and starring the screen's most versatile personality, Fred Astaire.
Oh, baby, what I couldn't do with plenty of money and you. In spite of the worry that money brings, just a little filthy lucre buys a lot of things. And I could take you to places you'd like to go, but outside of that, I've no use for dough. It's the root of all evil, of strife and upheaval. But I'm certain, honey, that life could be sunny with plenty of money and you. And I could take you to places you'd like to go, but outside of that, I've no use for dough. It's the root of all evil, of strife and upheaval. But I'm certain, honey, that life could be sunny with plenty of money and you.
Hey, Fred, I noticed that you and Johnny Green don't seem to be on very friendly terms tonight. Anything wrong?
No, Ken, no. Only if Johnny wants to be that kind of a host, it's all right with me. He makes me sick.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I stayed over at Johnny's house last night, and I had the room right under Johnny's.
Yeah? What happened?
Well, at 4 o'clock in the morning, Johnny started stamping on the floor above me. Oh, it was awful.
Well, that must have made a terrible noise, Fred.
It did, Ken. Why, he made such a racket, I could hardly hear myself roller skate. Well, really, I mean...
Well, maybe he's just a nervous type, Fred.
Well, I don't like to say it, Ken, but I believe he's a bit stingy, too.
Stingy? In what way, Fred?
Well, at breakfast, I only had 22 hotcakes, 4 fried eggs, 6 slices of ham, and 5 cups of coffee.
Oh, I see. That's all you had?
Yes. Why, Johnny kept staring at me so much, I lost my appetite. And I actually got up from that table hungry, Ken.
Oh, gee, I should think you would.
Yeah, and he's so touchy about little things, too. Oh, he makes me sick. Just because I backed out of his garage without first opening the doors. What? You know, he pouted for an hour. He's a terrible host, Ken.
Well, he must be, Fred.
Well, Ken, you know, the last summer he invited me to his summer place for the weekend, and he made it so miserable I packed up and left after 6 months. I mean, I did something to Ken. Well, he makes me sick.
Hello, Fred.
Oh, hello, John. I was just telling Ken Carpenter what a swell time I had at your house.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Oh, I never had a better time alive, old pal.
I'm looking forward to your next visit, Fred. I hope it's soon.
Thanks, Johnny. I'd be delighted. Yes, I will.
And by the way, Fred, when you come, will you please bring back my towels? You know, it's a nuisance drying off with blotters.
Has anyone seen anything of Charlie Butterworth?
Oh, yes. He's still hot on the trail of his racehorse, Rasputin. He's even organized his own detective bureau.
Hey, what's all that racket?
Someone's breaking down the door.
Why, it's Charlie Treat 'em Rough Butterworth.
Oh, what's the idea of breaking down the door? It was open.
I know, but it's good practice.
Say, Charlie, where'd you get the police motorcycle sidecar?
Oh, the chief lent it to my partner to help track down Rasputin.
Your partner? You mean you've taken on an assistant?
Yes, haven't you met him? Operator X, meet Fred Astaire.
Shall I slap the cuffs on him?
No, not yet, Operator X.
Charlie, what's that funny hissing noise in the sidecar?
That's our roaster.
Roaster?
Sure, when things are dull, we sell peanuts.
Supposing you do capture the thief, Charlie, what'll you do with him?
Oh, I'll throw him in my own police station.
You have a police station of your own?
I saw it, Ken. Charlie took me through it.
Any good?
Good. It's sensational. Why, Ken, Charlie's police station is so swanky they shoot the Rogues Gallery pictures in Technicolor.
Yes, but only on bank nights, Fred.
Charlie, your assistant here doesn't look any too honest. Are you sure you can trust him?
Certainly, Fred. He has only one bad habit.
What's that?
He's a kleptomaniac. I'd advise you to place your watch in a safe place. Oh,
thanks for the tip, Charlie. Why? My watch is gone.
Operator X, did you take Fred's watch?
How could I? I had my hands full of musical instruments.
Come now, Operator X. Let's not quibble. Give the watch back to Mr. Astaire.
All right, here it is.
I hope it still runs.
Oh, you'll find it runs much better without the jewels. They slow up the movement.
Say, Charlie, here's a clue. We've just received an anonymous note that a horse was seen at Francia White's house.
All right, Ken. We'll all go over and pay her a visit right after the next number. Oh, Johnny, give the boys a downbeat, will you?
Hey, they can't play, Fred. Someone stole their instruments.
Operator X, now shell out.
Oh, all right.
You forgot the flute.
One, two, button your shoes, put on your coat and hat. I play a game like that while I'm waiting for you. Three, four, open the door, hurry for heaven's sake. I count each step you take while I'm waiting for you. Five, six, my heart does six as I picture all your charms. Seven, eight, you're at the gate and you walk into my arms. Nine, ten, kiss me again, tell me you get a thrill, just as I hope you will while I'm waiting for you. Heart does tricks as I picture all your charms. Seven, eight, you're at the gate and you walk into my arms. Nine, ten, kiss me again. Tell me you get a thrill. And I hope you will while I'm waiting for you.
I'm waiting for you.
This looks like Francia White's house, Charlie.
Well, Fred Astaire and Charlie Butterworth. What a surprise. Come on in.
We heard that Rasputin was here, Francia, and we came over to look.
Isn't this the house that used to belong to Ted Herman, the producer?
Yes, Fred.
Ted Herman. They tell a very long, unfunny story about that fellow. Would you not care to hear it?
No, thanks, Charlie.
Charlie, if you don't mind, will you use some other chair? That one's an antique.
What's an antique?
Oh, an old piece of furniture that goes back to a period or a person.
Oh, we have one in our house, too.
I didn't know you were a collector, Charlie. What period or person?
Well, after a 30-day period, it goes back to Berman, the furniture man.
Oh, by the way, are you hungry? Would you care for a sandwich?
Don't mind if we do. Say, these are good.
I should say they are. Did you slice the meat yourself, Francis?
Yes.
You almost missed it. You're laughing, eh? Well, you can laugh, Fred. They laughed at Edison, too. They laugh at all us creative geniuses.
Creative geniuses? I suppose you're a chemist or something.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. They laughed when I started to make TNT, but when I dropped it, they exploded. Pardon me, but that's too funny. Pardon me, but that's too funny.
As we leave Francia White's house, she makes our trip back to the studio memorable by singing that bright and unusual soprano solo from Jerry Kern's score, For I Dream Too Much, Jockey on the Carousel.
Do you want to tell you?
to tell when I would cry. It was my lullaby.
Mansell, we are all in sad hands. We'd gladly cry for a year if only to hear the story that your mama used to tell. And we will cry until you tell us what we tell. Now what about the jockey on the carousel?
He was so unhappy. Beautiful and very, very proud. She was as dainty as a fluffy little cloud. Her smoke just so was pointed to the crowd. Of course, though the jockey beat on his horse and rode away, he could not read his look. He never saw her face.
If she resembled you, I'd be a jockey too.
He was sad, the poor little lad. His pony was exhausted from a chase that never got them any play.
Mamsell, if I may continue. This jockey wanted to bring his dancer a ring, and reaching for it, suddenly he fell. And as he fell, he kissed the slipper in farewell.
He died for love, this jockey on the carousel. And that's the story that your mama used to tell.
It's sad, but true. His poor heart broke in two. Now I write it
and to the very end, little friend, you're splendid.
Time again for another galvanizing performance by our own man of a thousand roles. It seems that a certain Mr. Grange in a local hamlet had all his lights go out a few minutes ago. He phoned the Amalgamated Electric Company, and they, finding all their competent repairmen out on calls, had to send an apprentice. We find him now knocking on the Grange's door. Charlie Short Circuit Butterworth.
That must be the Amalgamated man now. Come in.
Pardon me, mister, but your lights are out.
Yeah, that's why we sent for an electrician.
Well, you got your man. All Amalgamated Service.
Well, that's fine. I've got some friends here, and we've been having a little party, and the lights going out have sort of spoiled everything.
I see. Now, before I go ahead, I've got to fill out a little report. That won't take a second.
Right.
The name, please.
George Grange.
Grange. Any relation to Red Grange, the football player?
No, I'm not.
That's funny. You don't even look like him.
As a matter of fact, I don't even know him.
Well, I guess that accounts for it.
There are thousands of families with the name of Grange in this country, you know.
I didn't know that. Well, life is full of surprises, as I always say.
You always say?
Any objections? Well, I guess that takes care of the report. Now, what can I do for you?
Look, mister, I tried to tell you that I have some friends here. We're waiting for the lights to get fixed so we can resume our little party.
You've been living here long?
No, I just bought this house 3 months ago.
Say, that's a shame. If I'd known that, I could have saved you some money.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what you paid for this place, but I know it's not worth it.
Say, I mean, what are you talking...
Well, just the other day, a friend of mine wanted to sell a house on the other side of town. It was practically a steal.
Well, I wouldn't be interested.
It wouldn't do you any good. A family by the name of Green bought it. J.T. Green, he said his name was. A grocery fella. Surprising how those grocery fellas managed to save enough out of their salaries to buy a home. I can't do it. Then again, I'm not in the grocery business. Well, I guess I better be going now.
But you just came in.
I had a nice time and all that. I'm not one to take advantage of hospitality.
But listen, mister, you came here to fix our lights. Aren't you an electrician?
Now, there's no reason for you getting insulting, mister. What's wrong with your lights?
They're out. It's dark. I can't see.
Of course you can't see. Even I, as an electrician, know that.
Look, mister, you're an electrician. The Amalgamated Company sent you here to fix the lights. I have a party. Our friends are sitting around in the dark. Won't you please do something?
Well, it's a little out of my line, but I'll try. Oh, Bojangles of Harlem, that old...
Just a minute. Just a minute.
Let's have a little professional courtesy here. Oh, Bojangles of Harlem...
Listen, mister, will you please do something about my lights?
Hot stuff. If you'll wait till I finish my song, please. Oh, that old Bojangles of
Harlem... Why can't you sing after the lights are fixed?
Why take chances? Let's throw those long legs away. There, how'd you like that, folks? Thank you. Now, let's see, what was I going to say?
How about the lights?
Oh, your lights, that's right. Say, where's your fuse box?
Fuse box? I'm afraid I don't know.
That's the trouble. The way they're building houses nowadays, a lot of people can't find their fuse boxes. I know a fellow who lived in a house for 30 years. He couldn't find his fuse box.
Is that so?
Yes, he lived in the gas house. A little joke of mine, I always tell it to subscribers.
Very funny.
Come now, it wasn't that funny. Do you have an electric stove?
Yes, I do.
Do you have a refrigerator?
Yes, I do.
And you have an electric washing machine?
Yes, I do.
They got you for all of them, eh?
Will you please do something about my lights?
Yes, I'll fix your lights. Let's go into the kitchen.
All right, follow me. Wait till I strike a match. This is the kitchen.
Hey, it's dark in here, too, isn't it?
You're quite observant.
You got a couple steel knives handy?
Yeah, just a moment. Here you are.
Now, you hold them. Just stick them in that plug there. We'll see if we can't make a contact.
Take them into the plug. Won't I get a shock?
Please do as you're told. It's all Amalgamated Service.
Well, all right, if you say so.
Go! Oh! Hey, that connection's all right.
Thought you said I wouldn't get a shock.
Well, I can be wrong. Let's try the refrigerator.
It's right there beside you.
Yes, I see it now. Let's look inside here. Pretty nice cheese you have here. What's this I see? Celery, eh?
Celery.
But you know the storm has caused quite a little trouble in this town. And then again, trouble makes jobs.
Listen, you, I'm getting sick and tired of this.
Yes, and I'm getting sick and tired of you. And your salary's not too hot either.
What are you talking about?
Why, ever since I entered this house, you've been picking on me. You're no gentleman. Why, you'd make me so mad I could kick.
Hey.
Yeah, I kicked the fuse box.
Yeah, and the lights are working.
Oh, it's probably just a loose plug. Well, glad to have been some help. All Amalgamated Service.
Little early American history as it might be if it were rewritten by a swing fan.
Well, I didn't mean to teach tonight, but if you insist.
Mr. Christopher Columbus sailed the seas without a compass. When his men began a rumpus, up spoke Christopher Columbus. Land somewhere until we get there. We will not go wrong if we sing, swing a song. Since the world is round, we'll be safe and sound. Till our goal is found, we'll just keep living bound.
The crew was making merry. Then came a yell.
Let's drink to Isabel.
Hum, ring the rum, hum, hum.
No more mutiny.
What a time at sea.
With diplomacy, Chrissy made history.
A nice Italian gentleman like John of Verona.
He used rhythm for a company.
The swing of Tarantella on his slide of trombone. He's an Onatan from the Navigation.
White, old Christopher Columbus.
With a red hot swing, he was it in a set.
Starring Fred Astaire, and with Johnny Green's music, Charlie Butterworth, Francia White, Conrad Thiebaud, and Trudy Wood, continues immediately after your station announcement.
Pardon me a minute, Ken. They just brought a murder suspect in here. I have to take him in the other room and grill him.
Well, but do you know how, Charlie? Have you ever had any practice?
Have I? I've got a prize for grilling.
A prize for grilling criminals?
No, steaks.
Oh.
It's the same principle, though, Ken. Make them fry, I always say. I think this fellow might have something to do with Rasputin, too. Come along, you. We're going into the other room and have a little talk. Now, step out.
You are listening to KFI Los Angeles, Earl C. Anthony Incorporated, California distributor of Packard Motor Cars. Our program continues.
Oh, there you are, Charlie. Gee, from the way you look, you must have had a tough time grilling that fellow. Did you have any luck?
Well, yes or no.
Couldn't get a thing out of him, eh?
Oh, he confessed, all right, but I couldn't make him say he was sorry.
Charlie, I just had a hot tip. Someone said there'd been a lot of horseplay going on at Johnny Green's house.
All right, Operator X, let's go right to the scene of action. That is, right after you play your next number.
Green and his Packard Orchestra open the second half of the Packard Hour starring Fred Astaire playing Love is a Dancing Thing.
Nice place you got here, Johnny.
Oh, just my digs, a little pied-à-terre.
You seem to have more antiques than Francie White. Pardon me for being rude, Johnny, but I think this is a horrible-looking picture here.
Then move over, Charlie. You're standing in front of a mirror.
Now, what have you got in that worm-eaten cabinet there, John?
A lot of very historical pieces.
You mind if I peek inside?
But why, Charlie? There's nothing in there but some old relics of a lost race.
That's just it. I might find Rasputin there. Wait for it, brother.
You have some very interesting things here, John.
Yes, I've been admiring that pretty statue over there by the door.
Well, leave it alone, Charlie. That's our new maid.
You should have told him sooner, Johnny. I just saw him scratch a match on her.
Make yourselves at home, boys. I'll be right back.
Look at this beautiful vase, Charlie. It's been in Johnny's family for years.
Let me see it, Fred. My, but it's heavy.
It's very valuable. It's been handed down from generation to generation.
Hey, that's too bad. This generation just dropped it.
Well, there's the doorbell.
That must be very old, too.
Hello, Johnny. Hi, everybody.
Hello, Trudy Wood.
Oh, Johnny, what an adorable house. And what interesting antiques. How old is this Egyptian mummy here?
Trudy, that's Charlie Butterworth.
Oh, I'm sorry, Charlie.
Oh, that's all right, Trudy. I'm getting used to it. I was standing in an antique shop yesterday, and a woman walked up and bought me.
A woman walked up and bought you?
Yeah, she said to the clerk, I'll take these old fossil remains here.
Charlie, did you say anything?
Yes, I said, pardon me, madam, but I'm not a fossil, and I'm not remaining. She says, why, it's wonderful. It talks, too.
Away from antiques for a moment, here we are again with another new tune from the swell score of the University of Pennsylvania's Mask and Wig Show, This Mad World. Hardly needs an introduction, having already reached a high position in the popular song list. An Apple a Day is the title.
In our setting tonight, Trudy Wood and I will try to portray our usual more or less goofy characters. We find us sitting before an open fire after a day of outdoor sports in the mountains.
Mike, you're not going to put another log on, are you?
Yes, just a minute. There. How's that?
It's already as hot as a Turkish bath.
Well, it's pretty chilly, and gee, you better take care of yourself, you know. Here, put this rug about you.
But I'm already smothering.
Say, who's doing this? You got to be careful, you know. I think I feel a draft.
Gee, Mike, I've been all right for 21 years.
All right, that's all right. You never can tell. Look what happened to my Aunt Nellie. She was 91 years old, and she sat in a draft one day and caught an awful cold.
Oh, did she die?
No, but she had to give up smoking for 3 weeks. That just goes to show you that you can't be too careful, you know.
But why this sudden solicitude, Mike?
Oh, I wouldn't want anything to happen to you, babe. Oh, no. There are some things you could do without much sacrifice.
Is it because you love me that you give me this advice?
And because I hate you, sister. An apple a day keeps doctors away, so eat it. Keep healthy and strong, for soon you belong to me.
I ought to have fun, stay out in the sun.
You need it. Get vitamin D, for soon you will be with me.
I wear a slicker when it's raining, so I won't catch cold.
Not that I would be complaining when your mind's too whole.
Can't wait till I'm ill and count on a pill to cure me.
An apple a day keeps doctors away, so eat it. An apple a day will help you to stay in love.
Hey, young fella, you look kinda yellow yourself today. Something tells me you need a rest. And while I hate to be a pet, what goes for me should go for you. So may I give out with my little say.
Indeed you may, and right away.
An apple a day keeps doctors away, so eat it.
I'll keep well and strong, for soon I'll belong to you.
Have plenty of fun, stay out in the sun, you need it.
Get vitamin D, for soon you will be with me.
Wear a slicker when it's raining, so you won't catch cold.
You'll have no cause for complaining when your mind's too old.
Don't wait till you're ill and count on a pill to cure you.
An apple a day keeps doctors away, so eat it. An apple a day will help you to stay in love.
Our scene now changes to a downtown office in New York.
You went straight to headquarters and asked the man who owns one.
Johnny, I hope you don't mind, but while Fred was selling apples, Conrad Thiebaud and I were out in your kitchen admiring the rest of Johnny's antiques. New paragraph.
don't be ridiculous. Don't be ridiculous, Charlie. What kind of antiques has Johnny got in his kitchen?
Oh, sandwiches and cake.
I hope you don't mind, Johnny, but I've been snooping around your house, too.
Are Johnny's antiques as interesting as yours, Badger?
Well, the most valuable thing he has, from a collector's standpoint, is that old-fashioned plug in his Roman bathtub.
An old-fashioned plug? It wasn't Rasputin, was it?
And what an adorable old lace handkerchief.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, Francia. I just bought it yesterday. It's a handkerchief that was used by William Penn.
Well, well, the original pen wiper.
I like that painting up there on the wall, Johnny.
Thank you, Conrad. That's an old master.
And who is the one next to it, the old missus?
That painting of the old gentleman is very realistic, don't you think, Charlie?
Not bad, Fred. I've got a picture of my grandfather. It's so realistic we have to shave it every morning.
Haven't you had your picture painted yet, Charlie?
No, but they're doing a statue of me on the Paramount lot.
A bust?
Yes, it's not so good.
Johnny, did you say this porcelain jug was antique?
Why, yes, Connie.
You sure?
Oh, yes, that was brought back from an old Chinese monastery by two famous explorers.
Oh, yes, I see they've autographed it, too, Sears and Roebuck.
From the motion picture, The Gay Desperado, Conrad Thibault has selected The World Is Mine for his solo tonight. Ready, Connie?
Yes. That are bright. So in my heart I know this world divine is mine tonight. Night of love, when you're mine by the right of love. Night of love in this world of our own. Dream of love, though I find you gone with the dawn. You're mine until the stars have flown. The world is mine tonight. Silver star that shines above in the blue. This hour of heart's delight. The world is mine and every flower that blossoms anew. Speak of love and twice that are bright. Oh, in my heart I know this world divine is mine
Glenn. Scoop, weather report. For the first time in history, there's ice skating in Hollywood. The Packard Current Events Department takes you to a neighborhood pond which is frozen over and where Charlie Butterworth has gone with a friend of his to enjoy a little skating. P.S. The friend can skate.
Hey, the old pond is sure frozen over solid, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Say, why did you ask me to put your skates on for you? Are you sure you've skated before?
Skated before? Why, when I was young, my mother used to make cookie dough, lay it out on the ice, and I'd skate the cookies out as pretty as you please. They used to call me Old Cookie Cutter.
Well, that's quite a trick. There. Are the skates on tight enough?
Yes. Say, did you ever get your lights fixed?
No, but you sure fixed up my celery.
Something wrong about these skates, to get back to the script.
What's that?
The little wheels are missing.
Oh, you're kidding. Come on now. Show me how you figure skate.
Okay, like this. Slowly lifting the right foot with the balance well on the left, you glide gracefully out on the rink and...
What's the matter? Can't you stand up?
Oh, I suppose I'll be able to get up eventually.
So you're a whiz at ice skating, huh? Come on now, tell the truth. Did you ever have a skate on before?
I did pretty well New Year's Eve.
You told me you used to cut a perfect figure eight.
I did, and here's how. Now gathering speed, I get out on the outer edge of my skate and whirl, like this. One, two, three, four. See, I cut out a perfect figure eight.
See, that's wonderful. Now let's see you try it on the ice.
All right, here we go. One, two, three, four.
That's a fine figure eight. Looks more like X marked the spot.
See, I was multiplying.
Oh. You know, just watching you gives me a headache.
Just the opposite, wouldn't it?
Come on now, skate around with me now.
No, thanks. I think I'll sit this one out.
Oh, come on. Be a sport. Here, take my arm.
Look, I'm on my feet again.
Those aren't your feet, they're mine.
No wonder they don't hurt me. Well, here we go.
Hey, let go of me. Look what we're headed for. Can't you see that flag?
Pretty, isn't it? What's it doing out there?
Well, it means danger. Hey, let go of me. We're headed right for it. We'll both fall in and be drowned. Look out!
Boy, what a narrow escape. I almost fell in with him. Well, I'll have to be getting back to town now. So long.
Help! Help! I can't swim!
So long.
Help! Help!
Keep quiet, will you?
But I can't swim!
I can't swim either, but I don't go around hollering about it.
This is the spot in the program where Johnny Green gives us his one-man impersonation of a windmill, leading the orchestra, playing the piano, cueing the ensemble, and waving to his mother all at the same time. He now brings his own utterly dizzy-making, dazzling version of Gone. Dazzle, John.
Gone.
Oh, my love,
now you're gone. in June, like a beautiful tune that has ended too soon.
On the answers you receive. Last night after dress rehearsal, the cast was invited to a party in Santa Monica Canyon for a little relaxation. Fred, who was driving the car, took the wrong road. Two tires blew out, a thunderstorm came up, and the joyous party had to hunt shelter at the nearest house. It was a gloomy-looking place with all ghostly fixtures. Flapping shutters, screams of the dark, hooting owls, and eerie sounds. The rain-soaked group hesitated and then knocked on the door.
Come in and join our party.
Thanks. We just had a blowout.
A blowout? Wonderful.
Yeah. Deacon, I'm scared. He doesn't look real.
Oh, it's all right, Trudy. He seems friendly enough.
I want you to meet my friends. I'm the host spook here, and all these other spooks and ghosts are my guests. Everybody! Meet Fred Astaire, Charlie Butterworth, Ken Carpenter, and Trudy Wood of the Packard Program.
Hi, Charlie!
Hello, but how did you know our name?
I know everything.
Besides, I catch your show every Tuesday.
Pardon me, but have you your new 1937 haunting license?
I'll laugh about it, Bill.
Hello, who are you?
No, I'm a spook, too. I spook in that dialect.
What's your name?
Ginspook, thank you. Same as what? You like to catch up a little dance with me?
Thanks, I'd love to.
Splendid, splendid, splendid. Strike up the music and let's hoop it up.
Skeleton.
This is a nightmare. Here's where I wake up.
Wait, Charlie, listen.
There's an old deserted mansion on an old forgotten road where the better ghosts and goblins always hang out. And one night they threw a party in the manor a la mode, and they cordially invited all the gang out. At a dark, bewitching hour, when the fun was loud and hearty, a notorious wallflower became the life of the party. The spooks were having the midnight swing. The merrymaking was in full swing. They shrieked themselves into a fearful plan when the skeleton in the closet started to dance. A goblin giggled a fiendish glee. A shout rang out from the big banshee. Amazement was in every ghostly glance. when the skeleton in the closet started to dance. All the witches were in stitches while his steps made rhythmic thumps, and they nearly dropped their broomsticks when he tried to do the bump. You never heard such unearthly laughter or such hilarious groans when the skeleton in the closet rattled his bones.
Do you know what was it?
Close as Johnny Green opens the door to next week's show and gives you a glimpse of one of Fred Astaire's featured musical numbers, He Ain't Got Rhythm from On the Avenue. Tune in next Tuesday for new songs and dances by Fred Astaire, the comedy of Charlie Butterworth, the music of Johnny Green's orchestra, and the singing of Francie White, Conrad Sebo, and Trudy Wood. An hour of pleasant entertainment gathered for your pleasure by Packard. In the meantime, ask the man who owns one. Before we sign off, the Packard Motor Car Company wishes to remind you again to contribute at once to the American Red Cross for the relief of flood sufferers. Heard on tonight's program were With Plenty of Money and You from Gold Diggers of 1937, 1-2 Button Your Shoe and Skeleton in the Closet from Pennies from Heaven, Love is a Dancing Thing from At Home Abroad, and Gone from Love on the Run. This program came to you from the NBC studios in Hollywood. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company. Thank you.